good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. The studio cam is on. The chat room is open, so come on over to firstamendmentradio.com and click on the chat button and join the conversation. Oh, today, what are we going to talk about? Well, let's look at some scriptures first. Still this week, I'm still looking at Mystery Babylon. Verse 17, chapter 15 of the Revelation said, He said to me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman, speaking of the whore, the woman which thou sawest, and that was the whore sitting upon the beast, is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So pinpointing it there, this messenger to the church, and specifically speaking to John in the Revelation about 95 AD, identifies the woman which thou sawest, this whore that rides the beast, is that great city. And well, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And where was that great city in 95 AD that reigned over the kings of the earth? Now, today, and for 1260 years, the ruler of that great city, Rome, was and is the Vatican. John would point at Rome, because it was Rome, but not the Vatican as the head of Rome. It was the Roman Empire then. But it was soon to be that for 1260 years that Rome would be ruled from the Vatican. You know, merely changing its, like we have our White House, our government in Washington, D.C. So it just kind of changed the place in Rome from where the great city is ruled that reigns over the kings of the earth. And you have the church today, and all of them are waiting for some antichrist to show up for the last 7 or 3.5 years. Even people who don't believe in the rapture. Like I was watching, I perchance was watching True News. That's the program last week. And he doesn't believe in a rapture, but he's an amillennial anyway. So he believes in rapture type fairy tales, you know, things that aren't written in the Bible, that have to be constructed upon conjecture alone. And those are two things that have to be constructed on conjecture alone from the Bible. One is amillennialism, because it's not explicitly, expressly stated anywhere in the Bible. And the other one is a pre-tribulation rapture, another thing that is not expressly or explicitly stated anywhere in the Bible. Also a juxtaposed 70th week of Daniel, or I guess you have to call it a second 70th week, because, you know, there was a week that actually followed the 69th. I mean, what do they call that one? The 71st week? Well, we're not having the 70th week right away. We're going to have that one in the future. So the one that actually followed the 69th week wasn't the 70th week. It was the 71st week. I mean, that's ridiculous, but, you know, that's basically what they're saying. So I don't see how they get around it, but they do. They do. They do not want to let go of that comfort. They're so afraid, so fearful that they will have to be in some kind of tribulation. Of course, first they believe a lie, because they believe that all of the calamity that God wrote into the book of the Revelation, the tribulation that played out over the last 2,000 years for the most part, Whew, thank God it's not all going to happen and land on us. I mean, but when tribulation comes and it lands on you, it doesn't matter how bad it is, especially if it kills you, you know. And the thing is, when judgment comes on the world, guess what comes on God's people? Well, tribulation, because judgment and tribulation come together. Although we know when judgment comes on the nation that we're in or around or the nations around us, we know that judgment is not for us. That's a temporal judgment upon the nation to bring them to repentance, if it is possible. But for us, it's tribulation. Jesus stated it plainly. In this life, you will have tribulation. There's no escape. There's no pre-tribulation rapture escape. I know you want it really, really bad. I wanted it. Hey, first they told me how bad it was going to be. It's going to be the worst time that never was ever a time like it in the whole of the earth. But, you know, tell that to the, say, you know, the 6 million Jews being burned to death or being thrown into ovens or starving to death. You know, that was the worst time for them. So when your worst time comes, it doesn't matter whether it's called a great tribulation that you're trying to escape. It doesn't, none of that matters when you're going through it. So when judgment comes, and judgment is coming right now, it's on America. We can see the nation falling apart. We can see, judgment has been happening for the last, couple years, big time. And what we need to do is repent as a people, and we need to preach God's word and preach repentance. And yes, that may bring tribulation upon us and persecution upon us, but those things are inescapable for God's people. And if you're so hell-bent on escaping persecution and tribulation from the world around you, then what would you do? What will you do? Will you sell your soul? You say, oh, well, God's word must have been wrong because all of these temptations are going to come upon you. And you're going to say, well, God's word must have been, why? Why? I was taught that God's word said that I would be raptured out before anything bad happened, before all the tribulation came. And so I guess the Bible's wrong. I might as well just go along with the world. Here, give me the mark of the beast. You know, is that what you're going to say? when your favored plan doesn't play out, when your favored Antichrist Counter-Reformation eschatological scheme doesn't work, when the rapture you chose, because there's three raptures, you know, God gives us multiple choice, and whatever the church decides or is most popular with the church, that's the one God's going to go with. You believe that? I mean, you got three raptures to choose from. I don't choose any of the raptures, you know, because some people will say, well, you're post-tribulation. Well, yeah. The scripture does say after the tribulation of those days, but I'm not a post-tribulation rapturist. I'm a post-tribulation resurrectionist because Jesus is coming and we will be resurrected when he appears. Yeah, that's when it's going to happen. Has nothing to do with any of the three rapture options that are being offered today for the evangelical church. Let's see. Let me check out the chat room here. See, I shared the rapture will be canceled with a couple from church and now they want to come to the home church. It is a beautiful thing. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. Well, I'm glad that, that book is doing its job because that's what it was written for. It was written for such a time as this. And especially when they get their Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount, I expect that to happen by, probably sometime about 2024. Not very far off when you consider it's already 2022, because I think they're going to want to get their rapture, 7-year rapture play, you know, done by 2030. That seems to be their target date to have everything. Because to get all of the Christians online that believe in the raptures and rapture eschatology, well, you have to get all of them disappointed that the rapture didn't happen, you know, because it's not going to happen. The resurrection will happen. It's just not going to happen on the rapture schedule, okay? And that's why I wrote that book, When the Third Temple is Built. The rapture will be canceled. That's my first book. Yeah, that one works too, but this is the one I wrote specifically, When the Third Temple is Built. I think it's a better book for the purpose, but, either of them will work. Anyway, we're talking about the whore. And really, that's the next thing on the schedule, on our prophetic schedule. The next big event is that one. Because if we go over here to, I believe chapter 18, and, when Babylon is fallen, has become the habitation of devils. Yeah, it's there. And it's, you know, it's been spiritually fallen. For all the nations have drunk the wine of her wrath. I think I put it well in my latest book. And my latest book is this one here. Which is it? It's called The Beast Apocalyptic. Mystery Babylon and the Beast's Powers. And I think if you really want to understand prophecy, this is in a series I did on YouTube. And you can scroll back on my website to get the Beast Apocalyptic series that I did on the air. But this is from chapter 7 of the book, The Beast Apocalyptic. Revelation 14:8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And as the New Testament era opens, the Chaldean city of Babylon merely exists as subjugated to the Roman Empire, certainly not reaching to the greatness of the city here described. The complete descriptor at Revelation 17:5 is most revealing, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So we understand that we're not talking about literal Babylon here, because a lot of people ask me that question occasionally. And I remember, you know, like 20 years ago, wondering the same things. So I'm not faulting anyone for asking the question, will literal Babylon rise again? No, so we understand that we're not talking about literal Babylon here. A mystery is what is literal. That's what the text says. It is alliterated in the text that we are speaking about a mystery Babylon, not literal Babylon, okay? That settles the question for me. She is referred to in the feminine, like the church, and a mother, not in the masculine character of the beast powers. So you can't say that Mystery Babylon is the beast. She rides the beast. She is differentiated from the beast as riding it. When you ride a horse, you don't become the horse. you steer the dumb animal, okay? And the beast is kind of like a dumb animal. It has a life of its own. But she is a church, but she is an unfaithful harlot church. She does not stay in the proper sphere of church government. She commits fornication with the civil rulers in order to obtain the power she so desperately covets. Now, who are we talking about here? Well, there's only one power in the whole earth that fits this description. No, it's not the Methodist church. No, it's not the church. It's not the Baptist church, okay? Because these people, like a couple of them, become friends with the president, or they meet the Pope or whatever. Meet the Pope. Yeah, I'm giving the store away with that statement. No, she commits fornication with the civil rulers in order to obtain the power she so desperately covets. She is the mother of that great falling away, headed by the man of sin, and who is called the son of perdition. She is the mother of harlots and abominations. The term abominations here should bring to mind the abomination that maketh desolate, being a wrong sacrifice in the temple of God. She offers a bloodless sacrifice, even today. See, who are we talking about? Is America Mystery Babylon, people say? No, I'm sorry. This is not, we're not speaking. I mean, it is so plain. You know, that's why if you don't have this book, you should get it or go through the series where I read the whole book to you on the air for free. So you can find that on my YouTube page or on my website there somewhere. Just look for it. You'll find it. The whole series is there. I think it's 10 sessions of about 45 minutes long to get through the whole thing. Or just buy the book. That's easy. It isn't that expensive, you know. Less than $20, it'll get it to your door. Anyway, the term abominations here should bring to mind the abomination that maketh desolate. And no, there's so much confusion over that statement, but it's plain what Jesus was pointing to. Being a wrong sacrifice in the temple of God. She offers a bloodless sacrifice in contradistinction to what the scripture declares. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Her man of sin sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Let us not forget that the New Testament church is the temple of God. So the man of sin sits in the hearts and minds and takes the place of God in the church, in the people's hearts and minds. And he does this for about 2 billion people on planet Earth. That's right. It reminds me of George Bush, the W. Yeah. When he was asked a question in an interview, and it says, what do you see when you look into the eyes of the Pope? Yeah. Can you believe someone would ask him that question? You know what he said? He said, I see God. That's right. He said, I see God. He looked to the man of sin who takes the place of God. And that man, he was wowed by the awesome wonder and power of the man of sin who sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. He was awed. And you know, many people are, because they worship power. They worship authority. They worship money. And then they see the great power and authority because it's hidden from the world. Most of the world don't see it. You say, oh, the Antichrist is alive and well, and he's sitting over there in the Vatican. He's the head of the city that reigns over the kings of the earth. Yeah. Imagine that. Oh, no, that can't be. The Antichrist is some guy that's not going to show up till the last 7 years, and that hasn't happened yet. When it does happen, I will be raptured. So you're wrong, and I'm right, because, you know, my speculation must be true, and anything doesn't agree with my speculation and the speculation I've been taught, and it's not really speculation. I'll even argue that it's not speculation. Yeah. Dale says, he quotes, I sit as a queen and will see no sorrow. She will see sorrow. Yeah, she will. Because God has put it into their minds, the 10-horn power. Let's see, where is that at? I have that here somewhere. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast. Their kingdoms unto the beast. The 10-horned powers give their kingdoms to the beast. And she and the beast, he, the beast, turns on the whore and does what? Well, because they hate her. Why do they hate her? Well, they're going to find a good reason here. And yeah, it's going to happen. They're going to turn on her. She's committed fornication with them all. Now, how many of you former fornicators out there? Yeah. How many of you former fornicators out there that are following God and have repented of your sins, think fondly upon your past fornications and those that dragged you into them? And the price you paid with your life, the destruction of your families. Yeah. Well, see, that's what's going to happen with these 10 horn powers. They're going to turn on her. They're going to see the fornication they committed. They're going to see what she did to them, how she used and abused them and their people. No, who turns on her? It's the 10 horn powers of Europe. It's the European powers that will turn on her. The 10 horns, okay? If you read my book, you'd understand this. And you would have, once you understand this here, the beast apocalyptic, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. When you understand what these symbols and who these powers are, everything pretty much falls into place, because the who's who and the who's doing what and what the scripture says they're going to do, like I'm trying to tell you right now, it will all make sense once you know who the characters are. So it's the 10 horns. And I guess we have to talk a little bit about the Earth Beast. The Earth Beast. Well, we talk about Western Europe having 10 divisions of power. One division, 1/10 of the kingdom fell away. And we believe that was the English, the British Isles, which fell away from the beast. And so when she was judged about the time of the French Revolution, that judgment did not fall in the tenth of the kingdom, though they did feel the judgment because they had their own tribulation and there was matriculation. The effects of that whole thing did matriculate and affect the British Isles too. So even if the judgment doesn't fall directly on you, you still feel the tribulation because she was close enough to feel it. But then, talking about the two-horned earth beast, which we've identified as America. Now, I look at Western Europe. I was thinking about this morning before I came on the air, and the 10 horns were the 10 divisions of Western European nations. Okay? But America is depicted as a lamb, with two horns, and a lamb is an immature sheep, okay? But it would still be a immature male sheep. But it had two horns. So what we're focusing on with the Earth Beast power is a twofold division. And perhaps we need to talk about that a little bit when we get back from the break. Kind of opening it up and taking a better look at that enigma. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We're just discussing prophecy here. We have some questions in the chat room, which I'm going to address. Let's see. Tom W. in the chat room says, James C. Morris hates it when I call it Darbyism. Yeah, I know James C. Morrison, not personally, but I know who we are of him. And I've been in a couple of knockdown dragouts with him on a few forums. But he wrote a book, I believe it's something about ancient dispensationalism. And what he does is he finds quotes from the second, third, fourth century, fathers that have elements that could be considered, futurism. And then he blows them up into full-blown futurism of today. And, you know, I already have admitted that the first one to put all of those pieces and bring them all together and attribute them to an end-time Antichrist was, okay, Francisco Ribera about 1570. So 1570 is a date he hates. He says, it didn't just all start in 1570. Well, it was Francisco Ribera was the first one to bring all of those disparate, wrong conclusions that were being written about, that he finds all those elements and bring them all together and then offer up an end-time Antichrist to take the place of the Pope of Rome. Of course, to defend the Pope of Rome, saying he can't be the Antichrist. See, it's an end-time Antichrist. But see, those first early church fathers, even though the things they were saying were not correct, it doesn't matter about the wrong things that the early church fathers wrote. It really only matters what the Bible says. But they still weren't upholding what we call dispensational futurism today. It's a totally different thing. The first one to bring all those elements together and propose the end-time Antichrist was Francisco Ribera. And of course, many others have since then contributed to the scheme to make it much more complex and what's being offered today. So I know what the early church fathers wrote, and they did not believe in the futurism that is offered up today, because it was not, like I said, it was not all brought those elements weren't all brought together until 1870, when Francisco Ribera, in defense of the Pope, offered up an end-time Antichrist character as the Antichrist and man of sin of the scripture, because he was trying to deflect the fact that what the early reformers were writing, saying that the Pope was the seat of the Antichrist. So that's the defense there. So he's basically just defending the Pope, as far as I'm concerned, James C. Morris is. Okay, so, and his book would be a waste of time to read it, but unless you want, you know, to read it as in order to offer a defense against it, but you have to get back and you have to look and take what those early church fathers written, not what James C. Morris says about what they wrote. And so you're getting one more step away from the Bible. First, they made the error of juxtaposing a 3.5 or some period of the 70 weeks and putting it off to, because they were expecting the Antichrist to show up any minute. And they were right. He did show up and he did rule for 1260 years. Okay, but they wanted it to be 3.5 or 1260 literal days, not years. Okay. So see, they were wrong on every count. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about James C. Morris. And he's got a book to defend now. Okay. But he still can't show me in the scripture any pre-tribulation rapture, or that the 70 weeks have not been fulfilled, or that there's a gap in the 70. He can't show me any of those things. He may show me all the elements of those things, or many of the elements of those things, in some of the early church fathers' writings, but that doesn't mean they were right. You know, people, they made mistakes, and they're obvious mistakes to me. Okay, see what else we got. The ten horns are the kings of Europe. Well, they're divisions of Europe, and those divisions have, the lines have moved and, you know, taken different shape over the last 2,000 or however long it's been since the 5th century. Since the 5th century, those lines have moved and so forth. But the British Isles, that division there has pretty much remained the same because of the water division there. It's divided by the English Channel from the rest of Europe. So that's pretty much stayed the same, that tenth of the kingdom. And the other tenths have vacillated as the lines have been drawn and redrawn. But those were there before, as the scripture says, they have received no power as yet. John writing, or the angel telling John, the messenger telling John in 95 AD, that they have received no kingdoms as yet, like those 10 divisions. So even at that time, in 95 AD, they had received no power as kingdoms as yet, those divisions. So the horns really represent divisions, as far as I can tell. And now the rise of the two horned earth beasts. See, we know there was 10 divisions represented by, you know, different kingdoms throughout the times, but basically 10 divisions over that period of time. And they give their power to the beast. Now we're talking about the rise of the two-horned earth beast, also from my Beast Apocalyptic book, my last book I wrote published just a couple months ago. This is chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. So here we have another beast, not the same beast changed or transformed or a division of the former, as some would posit. They're out there, many people, trying to say that the earth beast is just a division of the sea beast. No, it's not. It's another beast, plainly. This beast is distinct from the one that opened the chapter, as we have determined that the sea or water from which John saw the first beast rise up out of. So here the earth must also be symbolic, as both the sea and beast terminology are. As contrast is a much used literary device in scripture, so here the earth or land symbology must be taken in contrast to the sea or water, being the locality of the previous beast. In this case, a locality that is not peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So not densely populated as the old world, where the several sea beasts all rose to power and in their turn conquered and assimilated those previous to them. Verse 11 continued, "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Now we are giving the only visual description of this earth beast when it appeared in vision. And it being the only additional beast mentioned must be the seventh enumerated at Revelation 17, 10, and 11. The Daniel 8 beast depicted as a ram and a he-goat compare. This one appears as a lamb, an immature sheep. See, before Daniel 8, we had a ram, which is a male sheep, and then we had a he-goat, which, of course, is a male goat or a buck. So they would compare to this one. This is how we would compare. This one appears as a lamb, an immature sheep, a complete retrograde in character from the dragon. If the scripture be consistent, this beast power should be in nature less aggressive and tyrannical than even the ram and he-goat, so easily manipulated by the former, speaking of the dragon, the red dragon that opened the chapter. And we know it's a red dragon because it was described to us in chapter 12, this being a cold-blooded rather than a warm-blooded mammal like all of the other beasts before it. That's one way that the ten-horned beast is different. It says it was different than all of the beasts before it. So we're looking at these differences. If this beast appeared to Daniel, he would have written similarly, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the wilderness, a lamb or young sheep with two horns," for that is the simple meaning of the phrase used, "like a lamb." This "like a lamb" symbol may also intimate that the Lamb of God perhaps has enough influence in this nation to prevent it from becoming totally tyrannical, as was the contrasting ram and he-goat of those monarchies represented. The horns appearing as divisions, however equal, if the attributes lamb-like and dragon-speaking apply to them, this would also support our thesis. Now, speaking of the horns, there's two horns in this earth beast, and there were 10 horns in the old beast. But of course, we also had the two beasts, the Medo and Persia Empire, depicted as horns, but it had two horns, but one was higher than the other and came up last. So see, these horns and how they appear tells us something about this beast power. And in the sea beast that opened the chapter, chapter 13, that is, it has 10 horns and then a little horn that comes up among them. And it's a little horn because it's a division of one of the horn divisions. Okay. And we've identified that division of one tenth of the 10 divisions of the old world as the locality of Rome, and basically that little horn would be Rome, whether it's Imperial Rome or Vatican or the ecclesiastical Roman power, because those are the two powers that exerted their dominance in the city of Rome. Okay. So that little horn is a division of one of the ten divisions of Western Europe. So we identify the little horn as Rome. And we know that there were two ruling powers in that little division, one that was pre-500 AD, or the up to the 5th century, and then after the 5th century, we see that the ecclesiastical power takes over for 1260 years until the judgment falls on the seat of the beast, which is Rome itself, and at that time would be the Vatican, because it was exercising the power even over the whole of Europe until one-tenth of the kingdom fell away. But she has her ways of wiggling back in everywhere, does she not? So now we have to look for an obvious division, twofold division, because, you know, kind of if we were to compare, say, the American continent with its 50 different divisions, or actually, you know, divisions of states, you know, each of the 50 states being a division, then it would have 50 horns. But it's not typified as 50 horns. It's typified as having two horns, and one is not higher than the other. One does not come up first or the last, or is a little higher, but it just says it has two horns. And so there's no differentiation in the power of those horns throughout the life of the beast. It doesn't say that one horn. It just says it's like a lamb and speaks as a dragon. And so I may have to attribute those two characteristics, one to each horn, because that seems to be the division we're looking at today. It's so stark, the division between those that are lamb-like in this nation and those that are dragon-speaking. The difference is so stark today. The division is so clear today. And it seems to be so equal today between those that want to destroy the nation and those that want to preserve it. Yes, that's right, Great Harvest in the chat room. The 10 horn divisions of Europe that hate the whore. Yes, those are the 10 divisions. Right. And it says they're going to turn on her and destroy her with fire. So they're going to get, you know, to use, they're going to get very, very angry about something that the whore has done to them. And it's got to be over the fornication that she's committed with them, to get them to do things that they would not have done without her help and influence. And I believe that's what's going on in the world right now. She has gained total control. Everything that's going lockstep is her work. It's the work of her and her shadow government, lockstep, working throughout the entire earth. This is her project. You know, and I was watching, like I said, I was watching True News last week, and he likes to go off after the Zionists. But what he doesn't realize that is Zionism is just another project of the Antichrist. Just one of his many projects that he has going on. So Zionism is just one more project of the Antichrist and his shadow government. Well, why can't he take it home? And I'll tell you why he can't take it home. Is because he's getting too much support from the, from the rebellious Catholics, because they're out there, they're everywhere. They go on to these new alternates like Gab and stuff, and you'll see they're very prominent. Oh, they believe that the Pope that is there, that he is the wrong Pope and all this stuff, and they're protesting against him, but they still love their idolatries and stuff. But they have a lot of money and a lot of power that people like Gab count on, and a lot of these alternate ones count on. So the Antichrist is really in there, you know, because until these people do what the scripture says and come out of her, if they are his people, if they come out of her, well, then they'll become Protestants, Protestants against the Antichrist. Yes, it is everywhere. Yeah. And much of it is controlled opposition. And they allow it. And they allow it. Anyone who does not point directly at them, they allow them to get big and make lots of money. And because if you get big and you are opposed and you point to the Antichrist, they'll come down on you hard, because they own the money. They have the power of money. And you can see with those billions of dollars and all of the people that have the billions that are in their pockets, the shadow government, speaking of the Antichrist and shadow government, they're like the Antichrist puppets, helping to push the world in lockstep toward, well, you guessed it, the mark of the beast. That's the ultimate goal, is to get everyone, everywhere, under control of every single individual on the planet. Because they want total inquisitorial power. Remember, that's one of the reasons why our government was set up, the way it was set up was to protect us from inquisitorial powers of central governments. But as you can see, what's happened in Washington, D.C., is that, now the federal government has inquisitorial power. They've got most people to volunteer, to tattle on themselves and fill out, 1040 inquisitions every year to the Antichrist power, situated the dragon power in firmly ensconced in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sad, sad, sad tale, isn't it? That's your dragon power. And, then you have your lamb-like horn that is fighting against, and we're fighting a losing battle. And I'll tell you why. Why does the lamb lose in the world? Yeah. Why does the lamb lose in the world? Why does the dragon get power? Why was he given power over the people of God for 1260 years to overcome them? Yeah. Well, because he was. Why? Because they lie, they cheat, and they steal. And we watched that happen over the last years. It became so blatant in the last election in America, the lying, the cheating, and the stealing, and that they get away with it now because now they control the government and they control most of the judges. And they don't prosecute their own because they like the lying and the cheating and the stealing because it helps to further their agenda. That's what's going on. Yes. And the United Nations is the image of the beast created by the second beast. Remember, I wrote about that in my book. the United Nations. I also write about it in my last book because it has to do with the beast powers and the symbology being used. And the image of the beast is one of those, things. So, some expositors have inferred, okay, let's see, where did I end up here? This like a lamb symbol may also intimate that the Lamb of God perhaps has enough influence in this nation to prevent it from becoming totally tyrannical, as was the contrasting ram and he-goat of those monarchies represented, the horns appearing as divisions, however equal. If the attributes lamb-like and dragon-speaking apply to them, this would also support our thesis. Some expositors have inferred that the beast here is not really a beast like all of the other beasts that we have reviewed, but in actuality is the false prophet from another chapter, regardless that no mention of such can be found, and the context simply does not support it. This assumption, for that is all it can be, violates everything we have learned from Scripture about the apocalyptic beast symbol. So I had to address that idea. And I have to say that even E.B. Eliot, bought into that, but never really built upon it because there was nothing to build upon. It was kind of like a paper, shadow that you can't build on. So that's all it can be is an assumption. Let's see. Where was I going with this? Well, let me check out the questions here. Oh yes, the United Nations. Okay. So anyway, I've gone through all of this before. And like I said, that you can find that, speaking of the dragon influence, he spake as a dragon. This dragon influence or division would be concurrent throughout the life of this earth beast power with the two horns. As we notice, no change. Or one horn being plucked up by another, as in the Grecian and Roman Empire beasts previous to it. Or the Medo-Persian, where one horn is higher than the other, this beast may exhibit an equilibrium or even a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and its dragon-like conversation. And I think that's become quite evident, though it seems like we had some periods where we were a nation of laws, governed by laws, and everyone was subject to the laws. But well, we can see that it's not falling out that way anymore. That the dragon is completely taking over the government with the money power and everything. And we've talked about the evolution of the money power in America, how it took, you know, 100 years for the Antichrist to take over the money power on this continent. And of course, she did that by concentrating power with the setting up of the Washington DC seat of power in the nation. That was her work. I believe that was her main work in the Constitution. And because she knew if she could concentrate power, because she had has a lot of experience in concentrating power. And anytime she can concentrate power, she knows that it will eventually fall into her favor for her designs and for her to use in a complete tyrannical takeover of whatever her object is. Okay, we'll continue this conversation when we get back after some news and such. Don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're looking at some prophecy, what's going on in the world today, trying to line it up with scripture. I hear a lot of people saying, we're in the book of Revelation. Well, actually, we've been in book of Revelation since it was written. So for quite a while, but for a lot of people, it's really becoming alive today, but they still don't understand it. Most of them believe that they're going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. It's just that things are kind of falling apart by the judgment that's coming on the land that we live in. It seems in the whole earth, this judgment is falling. So we're feeling it pretty well here. How long do we have? Well, we'll see. I posit that the sixth millennium is about to end, about the year 2055, and then the seventh millennium will begin. And I believe that the seventh millennium will be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I don't know the exact month. I don't know the exact day, the week, the month, or even the exact year, but the best I can do with my What Year Is It study, you can check it out for yourself and see if you can refine it any or come up with a different conclusion. It's called What Year Is It at my website there. If you go to my homepage, you'll see it at the top there. So do check it out. What Year Is It? If you're a Bible student at all, it should be pretty easy for you to go through that study and verify what I've written there for yourself. Okay, we were talking about beast powers. And we were talking about the United Nations. Yeah, the United Nations and the image of the beast as a symbol. No, the Antichrist isn't some guy who's going to show up for the last 7 years and make an image that actually moves around and people are going to fall down and worship this image. Yeah. It's not going to be a statue, but, you're close. You're getting the symbology is close. Okay. The earth beast creates an image to the sea beast. We find that in chapter 13 and verse 12. It says he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So this earth beast does not conquer and assimilate the nations of the sea beast. Okay. But it comes alongside and helps. See, it even causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And we would have to attribute this to the dragon speaking attribute of this earth beast, because which it wouldn't be the lamb-like part that causes the earth to worship the first beast. It would be the dragon speaking part. Okay. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. And remember, they're false miracles. He doesn't have really real miraculous power. He might use science. He might use illusion. He might use sleight of hand, as he always has in the past. No real miraculous power, only false miracles. So, but he deceives them. See, and there's the key word is deception. He deceives them. That tells you the miracles aren't real. They're a deception. Okay? Because a lot of people say, Satan's going to become a man and and he's going to have power and do miracles. Sorry, false miracles. Sorry, he's deceiving them. They're not real miracles, okay? Get over it. Don't just, you know, move away from that whole train of thought, because the scripture doesn't uphold it. It upholds false miracles, deceptions. Okay? A deception is not a true miracle. It's a deception, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Yes. Saying to them that dwell in the earth. And of course, the sight of the first beast. So that means that this earth beast went over to the locality of the sea beast and did stuff there. Has that ever happened? I think World War I. Nah, not really any miraculous stuff going on. And he did it to stuff inside the whole world, but he went over there World War II. Yeah. And then what did they do? Well, then they created the image, the United Nations. And that's what we're talking about. Saying them to dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Principle in our search for a divine interpretation of the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2 in the first appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see a conglomeration of all the powers that would dominate the world from the first enumerated sea beast, that is Babylon, its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. So there we have our first clue as to what this image that this earth beast is creating of the sea beast represents. It's a conglomeration of all the powers that the beast would come to control. So basically, it's an image or conglomerations of all the powers over the whole earth. That's what the United Nations is. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar's image, there were four powers that would rise up. Yeah. And they represented all the powers from that time till until Christ came. And though we know the legs became iron and clay and 10 toes at the end. And that all happened in history and is still, we're in the 10 toes portion of that image. We're in the era of the 10 toes portion of that image right now. Until this amalgamation of four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. So it gives us a clue. In this second end time image here being depicted in Revelation chapter 13, we see the conglomeration of all the powers of the earth for the final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand the worship or obedience of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So there you have the image of the beast and what it represents. Okay. And that's also from my book, The Beast Apocalyptic. Yeah. Let's see what else we have in the chat room here before we move on to headlines and news items. Let's see. The sea is the multitudes. Got that. The ten horns give power to the beast for 1 hour. Yeah, and I talk about that in this book too. Of course, that's what this book is all about. We iron all that out, what the 1 hour means, what it represents. That's in there too. I'm not going to go into it right now, though. The Unholy Trinity. I have an article on my website, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. The three city-states through which the Antichrist, those are her capitals, throughout the world. That article is that's still the most popular article on my website, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. And you can see that there. Let's see. You go to my website and you'll see it at the top there in the middle. The Empire of the City, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. So make sure you check that out. Spread it around. Put it on your email it to everyone, a link to it. And help people get a clue. Yeah. Because I'll tell you, man, the evangelical church is still waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture. Yeah, meanwhile, they have no idea what's going to happen and what that's going to do to them. That expectation is going to be a great fail when they start building their Abraham Accord. They come to their Abraham Accord agreement, and then 7 years later, no one's raptured. No pre-trib, no mid-trib, and no post-trib rapture going to happen. So I don't believe in any of the raptures. Why are we using a Latin word anyway? I'm not a Latino. Are you? Yeah. I'm not a Latino. I'm going to use God's word. Resurrection. When Jesus comes and the harpazo happens, you know, the people are caught up that remain. That's the only harpazo event. They use the word rapture in the Latin Vulgate for that word, and that's where they get it from. But the harpazo event is only when Christ returns and we are resurrected. I'm going to use that word. It's the resurrection. It's the first resurrection depicted in Revelation chapter 20. And then there's a second resurrection. There's no third, no secret resurrection, no secret rapture, none of that stuff. That's all a fantasy. Yeah, it's all a fantasy. So don't want anything to do with any of that. Okay, I guess we don't really have anything else. Any questions or comments in the chat room I need to address? So looks like everyone in the chat room is caught up to speed. Let's go to my mailbox here and see what I've got. Oh, yes, it's the sovereign man here. Hong Kong will execute thousands of hamsters to prevent COVID. I mean, this is how ridiculous the world is going. Hong Kong, the city of Hong Kong, was during the 20th century one of the freest places on the whole planet. I'm just, you know, a paragon of freedom, but the 90-year lease was up. Yes, the British Empire did lease the island of Hong Kong. They did lease Hong Kong for 90 years. Okay, Hong Kong. Yeah, 90-year lease is up, and here we are 20 years later, and now what's happening in Hong Kong? 20 years of total Antichrist control. Well, of course, it takes time for them to gain control, especially where liberty abounded. But what was their liberty based upon? It wasn't based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was based upon civil liberty. Yeah, civil liberty fails. It always does, because the Antichrist and his shadow government pretty much control the world right now. So because China is subjecting Hong Kong to its zero COVID policy, health authorities in the city went crazy over one untraceable case of the Delta variant. They couldn't figure out how an employee of a pet store caught the virus, so they tested 178 hamsters, chinchillas, and rabbits associated with the store. 11 hamsters showed traces of COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably using a PCR test ramped up on 50 cycles or something. Okay. Naturally, the government decided to round up 2,000 hamsters sold since December 22nd and execute them all. I mean, it's not funny. Everybody loves the cute little hamsters, right? Especially your children that you gave them hamsters for Christmas, right? Yeah, and executed them all. Seriously, because Hong Kong's health secretary acknowledged that there's no evidence hamsters have transmitted COVID, but she decided to ignore the science and murder the pets children may have received on Christmas morning. Pet owners now have the choice to comply with the government and turn in their hamsters for disposal. Or form an underground hamster hiding resistance. Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was worth noting there. Oh, yeah. Let's see. We have this from the Children's Health Defense. OSHA withdraws workplace vaccine mandate after facing lethal blow by U.S. Supreme Court. And I think we talked about that last week, so there's no sense to go into it. And if you're listening to First Amendment Radio throughout the day, which you should be, you shouldn't be getting your news from anywhere else. We have David Knight in the afternoon, so if you want all the latest on the that front, he has it all there. Yeah, good brother in the Lord. Independent, but still, you know, he's not really that much into prophecy, but we do like to keep up on the news. So, David Knight in the afternoon, is a good way to go on that. Let's see. Yeah, you can see these other headlines. Go to Children's Health Defense. And, where is that? Yeah, I don't know where that is. You have to go to their website to get that there. So if we click on it, where does it go? It's childrenshealthdefense.org. So make sure you go there and you subscribe and support what John F. Kennedy is doing over there, helping to battle the lockstep march of the Antichrist in his shadow government. And anything we can do to resist, I'm all for. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Oh, what is this? Holocaust survivor. Oh, yeah. Says, never again is now unless we always resist. And I believe she's speaking the truth. And he said something about, I listened to his speech, and he said something about a likening. He said, Anne Frank at least had a place to hide, and they could leave the nation or run away ahead of the Nazis, which a lot of people did. They ran away ahead of the Nazis. They were out front. But if you got left behind, it was really bad for you there. And maybe he was a little over the top, and maybe he wasn't. It depends on how you want to take it. But the woke crowd, and so he apologized, and yeah. I'd apologize too. If you're offended by what I say, I apologize, because I in no way meant to offend anybody, you know, by anything I say. Because what I really want is I want everyone to come to the knowledge, the salvation, the salvific knowledge, of Jesus Christ, the gospel, that his blood can cover your sins and you can be saved for eternity. Yeah. That's right. You can be saved from the law of sin and death. The you shall surely die death sentence that, you know, you were born with. You shall surely die. We all have that same death sentence. That's what Jesus died to save you from. But yeah, your flesh shall surely die, but you will rise again, not only in your corrupted flesh that gets sick and infirm and experiences all the aging and all that stuff that we're going through now. Yeah. Yes. He wants to save you even from your mortal flesh. So, but you it has to be planted in the ground, and he promises that you will rise again. And just to prove it, he did it. He rose from the dead. There's plenty of empirical evidence as far as I'm concerned. As good empirical evidence as we have to any other historical fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. Okay. And then not only that, he will visit you in the spirit and you, cause you must be born again, he said, in order to the kingdom of heaven. So you have this further witness in your life. If you accept it and you are born again, then you know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And if you haven't had that experience again, then all I can say is seek God. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, the scripture says. It has to be more important than anything else. And it must be. I mean, you're escaping death. You're going to rise from the dead with a new body like Jesus had, yeah, a glorified body. And he could do some pretty fantastic things. He could appear in a room and he could travel, and he even allowed others to experience this travel thing, you know, where you appear somewhere. Although he doesn't give us that power because there's too much evil in the world. And men are corrupted too easily. That's why the power of man that man could have has been limited by an almighty, all-knowing, omnipotent God. And though they try very hard with their mRNA gene technology, because that's really what they're after. They want to live forever, but we can see that, for them, we don't want to mess with their technology because, their scalpel is like a chainsaw. There's nothing exact. That's all they proved through all their experimentation. But they've decided to unleash the effects of their chainsaw scalpel work on the world and use it to further their agenda, as you can see. That's what's been going on for the last 2 years, where they've unleashed this lockstep monstrosity on the world in order to reduce the population and destroy and subvert as many people and nations as they can, because that's what they need to do in order to gain total control, is to create an emergency so that they can exercise emergency powers, not to help people, but to bring about their agenda. And that's what's going on in the world right now. We have some headlines. Biden's Ukrainian albatross. Well, it isn't Biden's. Biden is an operative of the Antichrist and his shadow government. They have total control over this man. As they do over everyone who you see walking in lockstep, like your premier up there in Canada, most of the government in America, all of the media, whoever can be bought is bought and paid for by the Antichrist and his shadow government and their operatives who have the billions of dollars. Yeah. Because you notice there are not too many good people that have billions of dollars. Do you notice that? Because if good people get a lot of money, well, we see what happens to them. Yeah. They lose it all. And they move operatives in to take control of those fortunes that may bring about good in the world. Yeah. The Antichrist just, so it's not going to be by power. It's not going to be by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And though it appears we're losing, guess what? We're really winning. Yeah. Because we know who's in control. Okay, we'll jump into some of these headlines when we get back from these messages. And looking for your comments, questions, whatever, in the chat room. You listen to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation: An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Prophecy Reality News live. And we are live on First Amendment Radio every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. So if you're not catching this live, put us on your calendar or subscribe to my blog. I send out a notification within the hour before I go live every Wednesday morning, so you get that in your email box. And then if you hook that to your smartphone, you'll be notified immediately. Yeah. Anyway, I would like to see more people come over here live in the morning, but because it's not fun being unpopular. Yeah. Someone told me I was wrong and unpopular. Yeah. Okay. So if you're popular, you're not wrong. Ooh. Yeah. Must be. To consider that. Anyway, let's see, we have some Babylon Bee headlines here. 8 important life lessons your child will learn in their public school. Well, if you're a Christian, you should not be sending your children to these indoctrination centers. That's what the public indoctrination centers. Because what will they learn? Well, sad but true, nothing that they, that you would want them to learn, that would God would want them to learn. So if you're a Christian, homeschool your children, whatever it takes. Even if you have to give up some income, learn with your children how to live on less and how to create and provide for your own needs. Maybe grow a garden, grow some food, learn how to live on less, learn how to do more for yourself. It can be done. I've been doing it for many, many years now. Got my expenses down to where I can survive on very little money. So I'm like way below the poverty level, okay? That's where, you know, according to the world and the income, what they call income, the amount of money that I can live on in a month or a year is way, 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 way below the poverty level. And I could care less, to tell you the truth. So, public school's not good. And you notice they're all masked. Yeah. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Biden considers starting World War III to distract from domestic failures. Yeah, well, the Antichrist, whatever the Antichrist wants to do out there in the world between their puppet governments, that's what's going to happen pretty much with little resistance. I mean, I can say the Antichrist doesn't have total control, but he has a lot of control through his operatives in all the governments of the world. Because money, well, money answers everything. Yeah, money answers all things. That's what the scripture says. So we see the power of money in the world, but all the money in the world won't save your soul. Not worth trading your soul for. So, yeah. Let's see. Digestive trick. I don't know what that is. We'll move on. Man wears masks into Walmart, not because of COVID, but because it's Walmart. That one's funny. I like that one. Yeah, you know, I might consider that. No, not really. I'll be okay. I'm not afraid. Let's see. Biden puts 8,000 troops on alert in case Peter Ducey retaliates. I don't even know who Peter Ducey is. I guess that just tells you how unworldly I am, because obviously this is supposed to be someone I'm supposed to know who he is when you say his name. Terrible schools most likely to resist school choice. And on it goes. So, I mean, maybe you get some of those. I don't get all of them. I guess I'm just not worldly enough even to get Babylon Beast. Oh, yes. Clever. This remodeling contractor is also a divorce lawyer. And I get that one. Yeah. Although I'm not sure it's all that funny. Yeah. Okay, well, let's see what else we have here in headlines. Oops, somewhere here. Guess we'll close that one. Yes. Speaking of Biden's Ukrainian albatross. I don't know if this is just a sleight of hand, something to keep people excited about what's going on over there in Ukraine. True News is all about it. Yeah, because he's been rattling the war saber for 20 years, especially with Russia. So, if and when it happens, he can be really happy that he was right. And he'll bring out the, you know, 50 times and replay it for you that he said that there would be a war. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Historic peaceful rally to defeat mandates and medical tyranny. And that was interesting. I like that. At least they were peaceful. They know that they have to keep an eye out for troublemakers and distance themselves or squash them if troublemakers want to start trouble. So, something that only happened to a small degree, but it did happen during the January 6th, that's the date, the January 6th thing. But they're still trying to turn that into something it wasn't. Very difficult, very hard to do, especially with the whole world watching going, yeah, we know that's not right. Yeah. That's what the lamb-like part of the nation is saying. Well, we know that's not right. And even the dragon speaking part going, we know that's not right, but hey, we're behind the, we know what you're trying to do and we're all for it. Yeah. That's kind of how it falls out as far as I can see. Fourth turning 2022, Bad Moon Rising. I never read the book. I've heard a lot about it, the fourth turning. Yeah. So working with cycles. And I know some people are all giggles about cycles, but you know what? Yeah. So they're cycles. So what? You can always say here are cycles, but yeah. In other words, history rhymes. Nothing is exactly the same, but it kind of the same thing keeps happening over and over. The GOP hasn't suddenly discovered its spine. Yeah, I have to say that's true. We'll see what happens in these next elections. Can they stop the theft? Can we keep the equilibrium going where it's this constant struggle between, you know, the lamb-like and the dragon-speaking division in America? Yeah. I'm still looking for something that says it's going to break down, or, you know, one horn was higher than the other and came up last. None of that stuff. So I imagine that what we see going on is going to continue until Christ comes. And that does mean that, hey, we can be persecuted here in America, because people have been persecuted, thrown in prison, and died there in America for revealing the truth and standing by it. It does happen. It has happened. But you can see that it's worse in other parts of the world where they don't have this dichotomy standing out and seeming to have a permanent stance in the world. So we'll see what happens. All we can do is wait and watch and continue to do whatever it is that the Spirit has for you to do as your part in building and being part of God's kingdom in the world. Even if that means laying down your life for the truth, being burned at the stake, or stepping up to a guillotine, or the axe, the sword, the firing squad, whatever, you know, it may come to that, and it likely will be more prominent as we move closer to the day of his coming. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to. Not an escape rapture. I know that's not comfortable for all you rapturists out there. Yeah, you're looking for that imminent return of Christ for a secret rapture. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. I guess you can be convinced of that if you really want to believe it, though, because so many are. I was convinced of it. It seemed pretty good to me until I tried to find it in the scripture. You know, and it's not there. I wish it was, if it could be found, if it was truly there. But conjecture, hypothesis, and the melding and twisting of scripture verses is not going to work for me and for anyone who knows and loves the truth. It's not going to work for us. Let's see. If strangers can tell you that you're trans, then by definition you're not trans. Oh, yeah, that delusion is so easy to see through. But like I said, it's a delusion. And those that are subject to delusion, well, then they'll believe the great delusions that, you know, that have come upon the earth. And that's it. It's not a great delusion, but it's great delusion. General delusion that has overcome the world and the earth and everyone on the earth. And that's the power of Satan and the power of those three frog-like spirits that are still going throughout the earth and have been just getting louder. Their croaking gets louder and louder and louder because they're propagating and multiplying like frogs under the perfect circumstance for frogs to disseminate and reproduce and populate in the earth. So the spiritual circumstances for them to multiply and overwhelm the earth are perfect right now, and will be until, increasingly so, until Christ returns. So it started, you know, when those three frog-like spirits were let loose with the sixth vial, and will till Christ comes. And it's easy to see that it is continually getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And the scripture was right and will continue to do so until he returns. And that seventh vial is poured out upon the earth. You know, that's the time I want to be with Christ, definitely, you know, because we'll be resurrected, I believe, when that happens. That's when the resurrection is really going to happen, because we're going to be part of his army when he returns. Let's see, did over 100,000 people older than 124 years vote in Wisconsin? Yeah, the fallout is still happening from their last great effort yes. But see, nothing happens. Yeah, we can know all this. The only thing we can do is for those people, for the voters out there, is to get out there and police. You know, police your voting stations in your different states. This has all got to happen at a state and local level, is to get the watchers watching. And that way, you know, there can be some effort there to resist evil. So for people that, if God calls you to do something on that level, then that's what you need to do. See, anti-lockdown protesters smash EU diplomatic service headquarters. Yeah. Sounds like people are getting upset. I think the whore that's riding the beast, she probably doesn't realize what's building over in Europe. Yeah, it's building, and it will become uncontrollable, where they're going to identify her and turn on her and burn her with fire. Yeah, means we're getting closer. But sometime over the next, you know, 30, 35 years, this will happen. I hope sooner, but we'll see. These things do take time, do they not? Let's see. The COVID deception is a power grab. Well, thanks for that. If you don't realize that by now, you are totally lost and totally deluded. Yeah, that's all I could say about that. Yeah. Yes, and so we have all these headlines. A very long war. Okay, well, I'm down to my last 10 minutes here. Let me check the chat room, see if any comments, questions, or anything I need to look at here. Can you speak a little more about the resurrection? When we die, does our souls wait for the first or second resurrection to occur, and therefore we do not immediately go to heaven? Well, when you die, you're no longer constrained by time, I believe, that you immediately go to the resurrection. That's what I believe. Immediately. You're going to be twiddling your thumbs in the grave. No, time is for those you left behind. And I believe this, like my sister died in 1985. My sister, who I was very close to, I loved her. She was a Bible believing Christian. She was in church. She loved God's word. And I believe that she immediately went to the resurrection. Now, I haven't been there yet, you know, but when I die sometime between now and when Jesus returns, I might be living at that time, I believe that we will appear in the resurrection at the same time. Yeah. So I could have said to her, when you get there, look for me, because I'll be looking for her. She's not the only one I'll be looking for. I'll be looking for quite a few people. Yeah. Yeah, in the resurrection, when Jesus returns. So I don't believe we're in the grave waiting, you know. There's indication. I got a a post on my website. It's called When I Die, I Want to Time Travel and Go to the Future. Yeah, something like that. So you could probably go to my website. Let me see if I did. If I go to my website and there's a, and I put in time, T-R-A, whoops. Ah, there it is. Time travel. Looks like I've done this before. And then I hit enter. And ah, there it is. When I die, I want to time travel and come back to Earth. So, and it'll be in the future though, because if I die before Jesus returns, then I'm going to time travel to the future when the resurrection happens. Yeah. And so I talk about that there. So you probably like that article there. And you can check that out there. And if I had more time, I would speak about that, but I'm about out of time. So will you go to heaven when you die? If I go directly to that article, will you go to heaven when you die? If you've ever seen a dead person, I mean cold dead, you know the person you knew is not there anymore. All that is left is a cold dead body that was formed out of the earth when it was alive. That person is gone. So we put the body back in the ground from whence it came. The hope of the world is that the person will now be in heaven. People go to church and follow the rules specifically for that purpose, or not. Heaven is an ethereal place where you float amidst the clouds with Jesus, the angels, and all of your loved ones who have preceded you and, of course, have been watching you all these years. This heaven sounds like so much fun that most people do not go to church and follow the rules, or they simply do not believe in this vague fairy tale, so they simply ignore death or have bought into other fairy tales. They can go to purgatory. Yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting article there. Was Jesus with God the Father in the beginning when all these things were created? John 1:1. Time travel in the Bible. So anyway, I have that there. Kind of tells you what I believe about. And basically, I believe that we immediately go to the resurrection when we die. We just kind of time travel to that. I don't believe we're waiting for the people that are here that we leave behind. That's the only left behind there is. When we die and go to the resurrection, everyone else is left behind to live out the rest of their time on this planet. And when they die, well, they'll go either to the resurrection, to one of the resurrections. Okay? People who die before the second coming of Christ will go to one resurrection or the other. Yeah. And I believe it will be immediate. Yeah. Time travel. So that's the only time travel I believe in. Yeah. So anyway, you can check that out there. And so it's nice to know that you're not going to be in the grave or floating in the clouds in some ethereal state. No, the scripture says, when we see him, we will be like him. And Jesus is not a disembodied spirit. Sorry, all you amillennials who believe in an intermediate state. Yeah. No, the scripture doesn't say it. It says, when we see him, we will be like him. So the only way that can happen is if we immediately go to the resurrection when Jesus returns. Yeah. And I don't believe that we're immediately going to be engaged in the battle. I believe there's a time period where we will be on earth while the world is counseling together what they're going to do with Jesus and all of these people that this alien invasion that has suddenly shown up, because that's what it's going to be. And that's how the world is going to look at it. And they're going to want to fight and defeat the alien invasion. I believe that we're going to be having a reunion of a sort. Yeah. Maybe a marriage supper of the Lamb here on earth. While the world is in disarray or in derision. Yeah, that's what I believe. Okay. I hope that sums it up for you. Tom W. Okay. Well, I am about out of time. Let's see. I got less than a minute left. Anyway, go over to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and make sure you press the follow button there and take advantage of all the resources there. Also, if you have a smartphone, Make sure you get our Prophecy Reality News app. We air, we audio stream First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week there. So we can be your main source for news and edification throughout the day while you're working. You can be edified there with good Reformed thought, good Reformed historicist eschatology, and good Bible-believing news sources throughout the day. Make sure. And if you have an Apple phone, get this page, get to put a shortcut to our Mobi page on the surface of your device, because we're not in the Apple store with the Prophecy Reality News app. So you can go to firstamendmentradio.com/MOBI, open that up in your browser, and then put a shortcut, and then you'll have your own mobile app direct from the web. Well, that's all the time we have. I want to thank everyone who showed up, everyone who will be listening later, for joining us. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.